Well, it's time to go. Benjamin is crawling up the stairwell, and it was fun. And we'll be back next week with something. Good night. It's Lonesome Cowboy Bill signing off on Sunday. 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Welcome to Isla Earth. When it comes to air pollution, every little particulate has a green card. It can just board the next wind current and take a ride to greener pastures. As countries like China and India beef up manufacturing, some of that pollution is going to contribute to rising smog levels in cities thousands of miles away. In fact, it's already happening. Los Angeles is usually the smoggiest city in the U.S. According to the EPA, on some days, up to 25% of the particulate pollution found in skies above Los Angeles actually comes from China. Stephen Cliff, a researcher at the University of California, Davis, monitors air pollution in California. He says that 2/3 of the pollution from Asia is made of soot, sulfur, and trace metals from the burning of fossil fuels, especially coal. On average, China builds a new coal-fired power plant every week. The Natural Resources Defense Council is working with Chinese officials to boost the country's energy efficiency. And once alternative energy development is accepted as an urgent global priority, perhaps we'll all breathe easier. Learn more about green strategies for a growing world at islaearth.org. Isla Earth is produced by the Catalina Island Conservancy with support from its Fund for a Sustainable Planet, because Earth is an island.
When it comes to domestic violence, do we hide behind a mask? Domestic violence is everybody's business. The Domestic Violence Awareness Conference takes place on Saturday, September 28th from 11:30 to 3:30 at the Urban League, located at 1710 Paseo. Guest speakers will be sharing their personal experiences and a light lunch will be provided. More information can be found at www.eventswithapurposekc.com. This message is a public service of 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. La 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 la
It's hard enough losing the paper illusion you've hidden inside. Without the confusion of finding you're using the crutch of a lie to shelter your pride when you cry.
It won't be long.
past just like the days of old. They're in the safety of a mother's arms, the warmth of ages far away from harm again. Ears ringing from the battle.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, too.
All right, so... Oh, yeah. Now, we've already listened to this Jimi Hendrix song once tonight, but goddamn, it's Jimi Hendrix. All right, let's just... We'll slowly fade him out. Bye, Jimmy. We'll see you later, buddy. Does sound good. All right, it's 23 minutes after the hour of midnight right here on Community Radio in the 21st century. I'm Benjamin. There's a bunch of people in the on-air studio, including Jake and good. Michael T.
Good morning.
All down here on the 9-9, the 9-9 of 2013. You know what today is? Today is the day that Congress comes back into session. Guys, do you know that? Did you
just
know that today is the day that they come? No, no, no.
Their regular session?
Regular session starts again.
Let the lawmaking begin.
Man, I should have had this up already, but
or
I was
bomb making.
I was at thomas.gov checking out the agenda for Congress today, because you know the president said like 2 weeks ago that it's in our national security interest, and people are dying, children are dying in Syria from chemical weapons, and it's time's of the essence, right? So then they took, you know, they said, hey, but Congress, even though children are dying in Syria from sarin gas or whatever it is, Congress, don't leave the lake. Enjoy your Labor Day. Grill some weenies. And you know what that Jewish holiday that old Rusty was talking about? Right. Rosh Hashanah.
Okay.
The Jewish New Year. Celebrate the Jewish New Year for you Jewish members of Congress. And then just come back when it's convenient, which is the 9th of September, which is today. You know, so at some point Congress will reconvene, but if you go
rename
look at the,
some post offices,
you go look at the legislative agenda. It's just cute what they have going on today, i.e., nothing at all. Let me see if I can pull this up real quick because
and super secret session.
Yeah, no, it's I mean super secret session may be correct, but it's not like freak out vote on military mission in Syria. That's not what it's about. Not what it's about at all. Legislative agenda for today. It's funny how long it takes this stuff to load up. I think they would assume that you would just get bored and
how wide is
do
your
something
band?
Else. We're at KKFI. We've got a lot of bandwidth down here, don't we? But today's the day that they're supposed to reconvene, but they're not going to reconvene and talk about Syria. And why not? Why aren't they? I mean, you got to think about that. It was they've been building this up. You had John Kerry doing his impression of Donald Rumsfeld last week.
Right.
That was a great impression, by the way. I really enjoyed it. Time is of the essence. We have to make this happen right now. And they're going to meet today, and it's going to be about. I should have had this prepared. I'm so bad. Okay. Here we go, Thomas. Legislative schedule, House.gov. Legislative activity. If it would, we have to go through Google Analytics. The NSA has to read this first. This is going to take us a few more moments here. I'm on House.gov/legislative. And it takes so long to load, it's like they want you to just go find something else to do. Did anyone see the footage of Congressman Cleaver's town hall? Excuse me. Reverend Congressman Emanuel the Dr. Deuce Cleaver's town hall meeting?
No, what did he...
I mean, apparently, it was just Info Warriors there.
Really?
It was awesome. Everyone was talking about the Illuminati.
Building 7.
Exactly, Building 7, the Jewish conspiracy. It was a packed house. He had to listen for 2 hours to people going on and on about how it was the New World Order that wanted to bomb Syria. And all these other things. Isn't that just great? I'm excited about it.
Nowhere to run.
What was his response?
That's right. He just listened. I mean, by all accounts, he was just listening.
He was like, I have no comment on that.
Well, I think when you have like a town hall meeting like that, generally, it's your opportunity to get totally nuts. You remember that lady who was at a Barney Frank town hall meeting when the Obamacare thing first was either passing?
Keep your hands off my Medicare.
or having passed or passing, she's like, I don't understand why you, Congressman Frank, are supporting a Nazi agenda with the Obamacare. And Barney Frank had a great response reply. It was, it's like talking to the dining room table with you, lady. Which is great. I mean, you know, it's all fun and good to have it worked out in your head that Obamacare is a Nazi experiment. But when you start saying that stuff out loud in front of a room full of people and a guy whose job it is to BS all day and all night long, he can shut you down pretty good.
Right. And he's I wish I could do an impression of him. But
Barney Frank's great. Yeah, he's, I mean, well, he'll be missed. He really will be.
He'll be on
by me,
he
not by
be
you.
On right. He should be on SNL the day after he retires.
I think he's done, isn't he?
No, he's not on SNL yet.
Okay, I'm pretty sure he's done. So today is Monday, September 9th. The president said that bombing Syria is of utmost national priority for us. Something we had to do. We're in a wind tunnel now. It's hot, man. I don't know why. Do you know why?
Solar maximum. Well, the this time of year, you know how things. No, I guess we didn't.
Are you a meteorologist? What are you doing here?
I am.
At this time of year.
On the news, they called it.
You know, you're gonna sound like Jake. I don't know if you can't tell. You're gonna sound like you're in a little box or something like that because your mic is way lower than everyone else's.
Out of the box?
Your levels are going to seem much lower.
Well, I apologize.
Check your levels, dog. All right, so today, Monday the 9th of September, Congress is coming back. There's going to be a lot on the plate for the House of Representatives as far as what they're going to do for the Syria conflict. The only thing on the House of Representatives schedule for Monday, September 9th is a hearing, a matter of life and death, examining preventable deaths, patient safety issues, and bonuses for VA execs who oversaw them. So they're going to be checking out golden parachutes for Veterans Administration execs.
Right.
And the life and death issues, which I believe in Veterans Administration language is infecting people with AIDS using colonoscopy equipment, is basically the life and death. So that's at 9 a.m. And that's... It's even better. It says that's going to take place at 436 Grant Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Which, really?
Yeah, that's what this is. What is on?
So it's like some road show.
This is the only, and I don't think there will be any antiques there except for the members of the program. That's the only thing on the legislative agenda, because you know what? They can't vote for it on Monday. You know why?
Because the president has to give a speech first, right?
Right, because it wouldn't pass. And the president has to give a speech. And you know what the speech is going to do?
Convince you and me.
Correct.
To call our congressman.
Yes.
And say,
bomb the sons of bitches.
Let bombs drop.
Absolutely.
Let freedom ring.
You know what Obama should guarantee you to do? Buy everyone 100 pieces of stock. 100, how would you say that?
Shares?
No, not 100 shares. 100 pieces
stock
of stock? What is how would you say that? 100
shares?
100 shares, exactly. You can tell I don't have a lot of money in the market there. 100 shares of Boeing or Northrop Grumman or Lockheed Martin or
Skunk Works.
Yeah, or Halliburton or just any member of the military industrial complex. That
I wonder
we're
how much it costs to get a share of, what is that? The one that Bush and all those guys are in.
Carlyle Group?
Yeah, the Carlyle Group.
The sliver that's of your soul.
Well, you can't ask
that's
them. They ask you.
You
get tapped from behind in a coffin.
Right.
If you want to be a member of the Carlyle Group. That's how that works. But yeah, they're going to be a matter of life and death, examining preventable deaths, patient safety issues, and bonuses for VA execs. Who oversaw them? People. So... Because the president's got to give his little speech, right? And in the meantime, you know, tomorrow, Charlie Rose, the guy who is not only is he on PBS doing the Charlie Rose show, he's also on CBS and doing a morning show, because apparently CBS thinks that people want to see Charlie Rose early in the morning. PBS thinks that people want to see Charlie Rose
late at night.
Late at night. he's going to be interviewing President, not Obama, but Bashar al-Assad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he went all the way over to Syria and interviewed Bashar al-Assad. And you know what he said?
Didn't think he did it?
Assad? No. You know what Assad said. I didn't do it.
Right.
I had nothing to do with this.
Right. And I make no claim on this thing at all, because I think one of your suicide pieces says that we don't have anything to go on but what they give us. But why do it when the inspectors are there?
No, the day that the inspectors arrived.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, why do it if you're going to do it?
Because you're crazy. Right?
Not right. I mean, no, I'm with you. It's just
you're a crazy bad man.
It's just. But then if you're that crazy, don't you go like, screw you. Yeah, I did it. Or you know what I mean? I don't know.
I'll do it again.
Right. I mean, this is my business. You know, you take that kind of stance rather than.
Well, I think the whole point is that Bashar al-Assad is not really that crazy. I really don't think he's that crazy.
Is he
a dictator? I guess so.
Right.
But not even, but the scary thing is he's not even a dictator by Middle Eastern standards.
Right. He's half liked by, his own people.
His people actually really do like him. That's what they say.
I mean, because didn't he have, this time last year we were talking about generals and ministers of war, defecting, right?
Defecting, right.
And that didn't take this thing down. I mean, which, you know, if a couple of generals take off, and even if they take troops with them, they don't necessarily decimate your army, but it makes you wonder where we need to be in this whole mix. Because I just can't get behind it. I just can't get behind it. Not because
not another
I don't
war.
Care.
You don't have. You can't.
Not
just,
because I
can't
don't
do
care.
Another war.
It just, you know, I think we talked a little bit about this last week. It was like, you know, we.
See, ultimately, they want to get behind you.
Right.
Right. You know what I mean? And that's what this comes down to. And snuggle up.
Right.
You know?
Here we come.
It's just a test case. Let's see if we can do. Because this is hardly 2003 all over again. This is hardly the invasion of Iraq all over
right.
again. Because that was like, that was essentially like going to see the Pink Floyd, laser light show at the IMAX theater. For how they built that thing up,
right?
I mean,
shock and
the
awe.
Presentation. Now we're essentially just listening to Dark Side of the Moon on cassette tape or something like that, sitting in the back of a pickup truck. I mean, we're not at the IMAX theater.
At the show,
right? We're not. Yeah,
tailgating.
It's not that intense yet at all, and I don't expect that it will be.
Right.
But I did read an interesting article by Michelle Chasidowski, who is the I guess he's the lead guy at globalresearch.ca, which is a very interesting website. He's a professor of something or other, and his website is very good. It's a lot of geopolitical, global analysis, that kind of stuff. And he's essentially saying that Syria is the glue that will stick all these little regional wars together to bring on, you guessed it, World War III. Which is very interesting, because he says that the plan for military intervention in Syria could result in escalation and integration of four distinct war theaters, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, Palestine, and Libya, setting the stage for a World War III scenario. And that's pretty awesome, isn't it? Not only do we have those four distinct, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, Palestine, and Libya, because Iraq keeps getting worse. People are not hearing these stories because they're getting buried, but
right.
Still car bombings on a regular basis in that country, and all kinds of sectarian strife continues on in Iraq. And then not only that, do we have wars in Yemen, Somalia, Egypt, Mali, and Niger. Yemen and Somalia, two really big conflicts that don't get a lot of play because those are generally done covertly using intelligence and the unmanned aerial vehicle and just constantly fighting these wars. So, you know, the Obama administration has claimed the government of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad was behind the chemical weapons attack, even though there is no evidence, and we're just doing another... What do they call him, Jake?
Who's they?
What do you mean?
False flag?
Yes, correct. False flag would be the correct term here. Another good old-fashioned false flag chemical weapons attack. We haven't had one of those for a while. When was our last false flag chemical weapons attack? Was it 1915, somewhere on the border of France and Germany? Or you don't get the false flag chemical weapons attack very often.
Wasn't that...
Jake?
Was the first Gulf War?
No, Gulf War Syndrome, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, that's what is being said is taking place here. And what is the purpose of Syria? How many barrels of oil does Syria export every year?
That I'm not sure, but I know they're...
You know what the answer is?
That's not their thing.
Yeah, it's not their thing. That's right.
But they're in between ports and that oil, right?
It's actually not even oil anymore.
Well,
it's all about natural gas. This isn't even about good old-fashioned crude oil anymore. This is about natural gas. Natural gas coming from Iran and in Iraq, or natural gas coming from Qatar, which is one of those little Arab Emirate places where everyone drives a Mercedes-Benz and wears aviator sunglasses. You know what I'm talking about?
Butler.
Yeah, no, a Filipino butler and
right.
About 10 wives. Or what's the max? 7? Is 7 the Muslim max? There is a maximum that you're allowed to have.
7's a good number to go with.
I have like 5 Arab chicks and 2 white girls. You know, over there, just living that sheiky dream. But Qatar wants to send natural gas from itself up to Europe, and they need to do so through Syria. That's one of their ways to get it there.
And Assad's not real big on that?
Yes, he's not because the Qataris are Sunni. Now, the Assad family is Alawite, which is a subsect of Shia Islam. So, Iran is a supporter of Bashar al-Assad and the Alawites. Hezbollah will fight on the side of the Alawites. Hezbollah, the Iranian funded political terror organization, whatever it's called.
In Syria,
in Lebanon.
They, a couple of years back, were responsible for killing, was it Rafiki? Lebanese former prime minister at that point, but was running again or something.
Because Syria controlled Lebanon for a long time, and now Syria does not control Lebanon. See how everything is changing over there?
Right.
Because Lebanon has a huge Mediterranean coast.
Well, I was going to say, I've long grown tired of the World War III analyses.
Yeah, for sure,
everything.
Because we're on at least World War VI.
Right, but...
What's your estimation of it? Would you Wikipedia that for me real quick, Jeff, and find out?
I will. The first
which World War we're on?
The first answer about Muslim wives is up to 4. There seems to be some disagreement in the Quran.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The disagreement or 4?
No. a religious...
You seemed incredulous over there.
Plural
they
is allowed.
Differences of opinion.
An inter-religious disagreement amongst itself. Imagine that.
I know, it's outrageous. Up to 4. Plural is for sure. Most agree about 4. Some go up to 7. Muhammad had 14 altogether, 9 at one time. But he was a special case.
So 9 is the max.
Well, Muhammad had 14 total. Just 9 of those were...
Right, 9 consecutive, concurrent.
But 7 would be a possibility as well.
7's a possibility.
With a couple of white girls in there. Is that extra?
Well, a lot of these notations... It depends on what country you're in. That's what I was trying to get at. The Quran allows plural. America, obviously, even an Orthodox Muslim would have a hard time getting away with more than one here. Four is what most, well, it's not biblical, Quranic scholars agree about, but some, yeah, I guess the more handsome and monetarily endowed take it past four. But that also, like I said, depends on what country you're in and probably how much money you have. Because there's also supporting verses about if you're able to care for them or not, regardless of the number, if you're a peasant.
Yeah, that's what I've always
said. They could do the Mormon thing, right?
Yes.
Where they move them into trailer park and then put them on welfare.
Right.
You've heard about that. Like the subsects of Mormonism that still practice the pluralistic marriage, the polygamists.
Right.
Like, what was that guy, Jeff Jarrett? What was that guy's name? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think.
He's in prison now.
Jeff Sessions, but that ain't it.
That's a congressman. He's a pervert in a different way.
Right.
It's like Jeff Jeffords or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's it, Jeffords.
Jeff Jeffords Jr. And he's in trouble because he was marrying girls that were really young, which is frowned upon outside of Texas.
Right. What was the second wiki question?
Which world war are we on? That was a rhetorical wiki question.
I just broke Google.
You don't have to actually do that one. Because Mike's tired of the World War III scenario.
Well, what I was going to say is I'm tired of it, but and I'm not saying this one holds water, but then you start getting into this whole they're going to attack Israel if they do this, and Iran will attack Iraq, and it could get ugly real fast. And at this point, this is the one time when you actually have, like, some Russia-America...
There you go.
...facing each other off on this
question.
And
this is for real in regards to Russia-America, because ever since the end of the Cold War, when the Soviet Union fell and all the Russian republics became these independent countries, it's that Central Asian resource. A place like Azerbaijan, which is one of the former Soviet republics, which has a huge natural gas reserve, this is all about the extraction of those reserves. Who's going to do it? Is Russia going to be the one controlling it? Because I think right now Russia, through the Ukraine, Russ, actually controls a lot of the export of natural gas or import of natural gas into Europe. And there was a couple years ago, I believe Putin was like, we have a problem with pipeline. We will slow down the pumping of the natural gas. You know, he got Robert Kraft's Super Bowl ring stuck in one of the pipe curves or something like that.
Yeah, because didn't he pretty much straight blackmailed
Europe.
Like,
old school style.
It was, and it was something pretty tangible. I mean, it was like, you must do this. I mean, it wasn't like some vague thing. It was like...
So that's the scenario here, is natural gas is the new oil. Because it's everywhere. And the interesting part is that America is a power player in this, because we're a power player in everything. But we have an amazing amount of natural gas here in America. So this isn't even a matter of... And we have what's equivalent, they say, if you're going to frack it all up, you know, over a energy equivalent of over a trillion barrels of oil. Now, there aren't a trillion barrels of oil on the planet, yeah.
Right.
And nobody's talking about the trillion barrels of known reserve. That doesn't exist. So we have enough to just say, screw you guys. You know, we could literally erect that big border fence that they all want down in Arizona and just not let anyone in or out and not worry about it anymore. And we'd be fine.
But we're not really talking about national security vis-a-vis...
The nation.
We could be in trouble.
No, we're not
talking... It's more about maintaining American full-spectrum dominance.
Full-spectrum dominance is right. And it's, you know, it's a full spectrum disorder is what it is.
Monetarily, militarily, resources, we must dominate it all.
Not since the disintegration of the Soviet Union in 1991 and prior to that the fall of France in 1940 has there been so swift an erosion of the world influence of a great power as we are witnessing with the United States. This is a psychosis that this country has, that people within this country have.
You mean this notion that we're losing?
Yeah, this is a this is from the New York Sun, written by Conrad Black. The Soviet Union crumbled jurisdictionally in 1990 and 91. One country became 16 formerly constituent republics of that country. None of them show much disposition to return to Russia. The cataclysmic decline of France, of course, was the result of being overrun by Nazi Germany, but what we are now witnessing in the United States is just the backwash of inept policymaking in Washington and nothing that could really be eventually be put right. But for this administration to redeem its credibility now would require a change of direction and a method so radical it would be the national equivalent of the comeback of Lazarus. A miraculous revolution in the condition of an individual and the comparable metamorphosis of astonishingly implausible claque around him. Until recently, it would have been unimaginable to conceive of John Kerry as the strong man of the National Security Council. You know? This is... So what we need, what this person is essentially arguing, what Conrad Black...
Hyperbole is insane.
No, but what Conrad Black is saying, he's saying that we need a dictator. We need somebody to go up there and start pounding the podium and blaming a central enemy, and let's go fight those people, right? You know, we need to go ahead and temporarily suspend the Constitution. What we need is that we need to blame an enemy as being the problem within our society. I mean, because that's essentially the situation that has existed for 15 years now, but in a real way since 9/11. You know, if you were to go back and look at some of those speeches that were given and replace Muslim with Jew, you would have very little differentiation between what Hitler said in the 30s to packed, you know, crowds in big stadiums in and outside of Berlin, right? You'd have very little difference. It's that we have an enemy that we need to rally around, and you need to give me authority to do what needs to be done. We need to act swiftly, etc. And what Conrad Black is arguing essentially with this article is because the president is asking for congressional authority to go do something about Syria, it makes us look like a bunch of pusses. And I'm not trying to defend, you know, Obama here. I think that this is imperial, you know, hegemonic, you know, warfare. I mean, this is nothing to do with a humanitarian cause. If it did have something to do with the humanitarian cause, then what are we doing?
Yeah, what are you waiting on?
For one, why are we using the military? For two, what's taking so long?
And he said outright that we don't have to do this today. We don't have to do it next month. We can do what we want to do whenever. And it just negates the claim that there's a crisis. You know what I'm saying?
Precisely. And the fact that the Congress is going to deal with Veterans Administration affairs today.
Right. They just want to get everything in order for the next set of veterans.
They should be dealing with active duty affairs today, right? If this is really that big of a deal.
Right.
But they're not.
So it looks like there's about 35 world wars pre-1900. Before we started counting in with giant W's and Roman numerals, with a given definition spanning more than one continent, yada, whatever, three-paragraph definition, starting with 1279 BCE and the Syrian campaigns of Ramses II to the Spanish-American War. There was 35 world wars.
Okay.
Count two more, maybe three. We're around 40-ish.
Okay. That was supposed to be a rhetorical question.
But just I believe I told you that.
But we learned something.
The country that could pick up
35 times.
Look at this guy goes on to say the country that could pick up the slack in the decline of the Western civilization is Germany, but it's psychologically incapable. A third of its voters are communists, eco-extremists, cyber nihilists calling themselves pirates. They are still in attrition therapy over the after effects of Nazi and communist rule. Huh?
Yeah, it's a Nazi hangover.
Right. Yeah, totally. Totally, dude. And the European power can't take the lead because it's almost bankrupt, over-centralized, suffocating, in a petty-fogging regulations governed by idiots. Wow, he's just pulling out all the stops here. He's saying that Canada, our neighbor to the north, Canada could play a role, but first it must buy an aircraft carrier. This is like SimCity, but it's like... you know, some empire.
Right.
You know?
Is there an auto trader for things like that?
If Canada wants to get serious, it's going to have to put some bitcoins together and go out there and buy an aircraft carrier. And other equipment necessary to project power. Like, what is that? Like a flag that isn't stupid looking. Right?
Money that doesn't smell like syrup?
Right, exactly. Sorry for you Canadians out there.
Did you know Canada has maple syrup reserves?
Yeah.
This is true.
One of the largest robberies in history. Somebody gained
millions of dollars worth of syrup.
Maple syrup is not cheap, folks. Aunt Jemima is cheap. I'm sorry, Aunt Jemima.
I mean, that's not maple.
Hold on.
That's not maple syrup?
It's maple flavored syrup.
Maple flavored corn.
Corn?
Yeah, it's corn syrup.
What?
Yeah, check your bottle, bro.
You are kidding me.
You know the log cabin?
Fake.
Yeah, fake. Real maple syrup
those
is quite expensive.
Logs and that
$12 a spoonful, last time I looked.
Ooh. Well, and that's if you get grade B. That's if you're getting the grade B maple syrup.
That's the legal stuff. You want to talk about some underground syrup.
Yeah, so if Canada wants to get serious, they need a strategic petroleum reserve and not a strategic maple syrup reserve.
Right.
Wow. You know, so he goes on to say, the United States is a hardworking, patriotic country with a talented workforce and a political system that can generate policy and govern and lead effectively. But unless the environmentalist extremists who predicted that Manhattan would be underwater, the average temperature in Toronto in February would be 20 degrees centigrade, which, why do you use Celsius now, sir? Just to confuse us? And we would all be gasping for oxygen, find richer electoral sugar daddies than the oil industry and get political control of that country, the United States will be a self-sufficient in energy in a few years. We'll never be self-sufficient in energy again. We could be right now. That's the whole point. We could be right now, but we're not going to be. Well, because we can't be. Because that would destroy globalism. That would destroy the way the dollar works nowadays. It's just foolish talk. Bunch of conservative BS. Just BS. Yeah. He ends with, if we could, end the suicidal U.S. balance of payments deficit, cut the worst terrorist-supporting oil-producing regimes in the world off at the ankles financially, and drastically reduce the federal government budget deficit, yeah. Is that going to happen? We're going to turn our backs on the Saudis and the Federal Reserve? Folks, let's be serious here. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen at all. Speaking of the Saudis, they also hate the Syrian
regime. In fact, I heard...
Because they're Sunnis, and the Syrians are not. That's right. How those people roll. You want to hear a great story?
Syria, right?
The Syrians?
The Saudis.
No, they're Sunnis.
They're not Shia?
The Saudis are Sunnis. Iranians are Shia. Right. And then 70% of Iraq is also Shia. There's a lot more Sunnis than there are Shia out there. The Shia are like a little... They're like Methodists or something like that.
Right.
But how awesome is this story? According to I think this is a leaked email or something like that. Secret memo says that more than 1,200 prisoners fought Assad regime to avoid beheading in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabian has sent death row inmates from several nations to fight against the Syrian government in exchange for commuting their sentences and getting a little money for the family back home. A top secret memo from April. The Ministry of Interior said the Saudis offered 1,239 inmates a pardon and a monthly stipend for their families, which were allowed to stay in the Sunni Arab Kingdom. According to an English translation of the memo, besides Saudis, the prisoners included Afghans, Egyptians, Iraqis, Jordanians, Kuwaitis, Pakistanis, Palestinians, Somalis, Sudanese, Syrians, and Yemenis. All faced execution by sword for murder, rape, or drug smuggling.
Jeez.
And then they went to Syria to become freedom fighters. Right? I mean, that's what we're talking about
right
here. Wow. Which is the same, I believe, system that was, you know, the Afghan Arabs in, you know, the Mujahideen in the 80s against the Russians, right?
Right.
It's the same scenario playing out all over again.
Man.
Yeah, it apparently it works for them.
Well, and I had heard, and I can't remember where I was hearing this, so I'm not giving it any status or whatever, but something about the possibility of Saudis giving the mustard or giving the nerve gas, the chemical weapons to the, what you call the opposition
the
fighters,
rebels.
And that may have been what had gone off, and therefore Assad didn't do it.
Well, apparently last January there was a